We're speaking now with Luke Ahmet. He is our newly elected Bonner County Commissioner for District 3. Luke, thank you for taking time to talk with us.
Good morning, Chris. How are you today?
Good. So not all of our listeners were necessarily voters in the last election, sad to say. For those who might not yet know you, tell us a bit about your background, just kind of an introduction as you're getting into office here.
I am a lifelong Bonner County resident. I crossed the Long Bridge at 2 with my parents, and I pretty much haven't left. I married a girl from here, and my kids are fourth generation Bonner County residents. My history has pretty much been in public service. I resigned from my teaching position in Bonner's Ferry, and yesterday I spent doing some of my final grading, and I have some letters of recommendation that I am very excited to write for our youth. In addition, I also have retired after 23 years of service in the Idaho Army National Guard. And between those two careers, I think that's really going to be my guide in reference to how I serve as a county commissioner. One, as a soldier, I recognize that there's a practicality, and we live in the world as it is, not necessarily always as we want it to be. And then as a teacher, recognizing that there are people following behind us, when I believe that we have a duty to not only prepare them, but to also leave them a legacy that they can be proud of and also that they can inherit. And what I mean by that is not just cultural, but also economic infrastructure and a variety of things.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Thanks for that, Luke. So we're recording this interview a few days before you actually are going to take office, which is on January 9th. The question comes up, what have you been doing to get ready for that?
I have been attending meetings and putting in 10 to 20 hours a week on county issues essentially since I won the primary in May. I think the biggest thing that I've been doing that is constructive is that I've been listening. And I have met with all of the other elected officials, which hopefully we'll get to talk about in a minute, multiple times. I've been meeting with department heads. I also completed a term of service on the City of Sandpoint's Planning and Zoning Commission. And I've been reading a lot of state law and reading a lot of county code. And through this experience, I have now got to spend more time with attorneys than I ever expected in my life. And it's definitely made me realize that there is a lot to know, but we are exceedingly blessed to live where we do.
So you're coming into office. You're actually replacing Dan McDonald in your seat. And Jeff Connolly is the other commissioner who's retiring. Have those guys provided any mentorship or advice as you were getting ready here over the last few months?
I have spent hours in the commissioner's office listening to what all three of them had to say, and considering both the challenges and the opportunities of service. And I will say the biggest consistent issue that we have is really growth, how we address it. But ultimately, I think the biggest issue for a county commissioner, period, is in relationships between the differing parties, be it elected officials or the general public at large. And I do find, to my children's chagrin, that it takes me much longer to spend time in the grocery store because there are a lot more people that are willing to have a conversation about county issues. And I appreciate it. I don't know that my children always do.
Yeah, it's like, hurry up, Dad.
That's why I bring them. It makes it, rather than a 45-minute trip, it might only be 35.
Because they tug on you. There you go. Yeah. What's great that we have that accessibility to our elected folks, right? To run into people on the street or elected officials on the street, and you can talk to them about issues that are important to you as a resident here.
I agree. I mean, I enjoy it. My wife shakes her head, and my 9-year-old tugs on my jacket and says, "Let's go, Dad. The ice cream's melting."
Okay, so you mentioned growth issues. I think, yeah, those are probably the biggest issues that the county's wrangling with right now, because we are seeing so much growth, and it's changing our county here for the folks that have lived here a long time. One of the things that the county's in the midst of right now is a rewrite of the comprehensive plan, and you've just recently been on the Planning and Zoning Commission, or actually you're on the Planning Commission.
I was on the City of Sandpoints.
Oh, the City of
Planning
Sandpoint.
And Zoning okay. Commission, right. Okay. Whereas the county has separated theirs into a Planning and a Zoning Commission, right. Which I did not serve upon.
Right. Okay. Well, let's start right there talking about that. Do you think that was advisable? They did that just last spring, where they split the Planning and Zoning Commission into a Planning Commission and a Zoning Commission. Is that a model you want to see keep going?
I intend to keep that model until we are done with the comprehensive plan. I believe that, state law states the comprehensive plan guides our decision-making process for land use in this county. We need to update it, and we need to do it with fidelity to both the people that are here today, but also with the vision that understand that what we do today, we should be doing well. So in 30 years, we are not looking at ourselves and going, why in the heck did we do that? Mm-hmm. So in regards to keeping the two commissions separate, I support that at this time until the comprehensive plan is updated.
Mm-hmm. And let's talk about that a little bit. So that's a pretty big project. Do you have an idea about what's left to accomplish that complete? It's a complete rewrite of the current comprehensive plan, as I understand.
If I may, it's not necessarily a rewrite. It's an update. And as in many issues with law, Idaho, it's called LUPA, the Local Land Use Planning Act. It's semi-vague. But the realities are that in the 15 years that we have since the plan was last updated, there has been not only great growth, but just change in who is here. And you can see it when you walk around any part of our county. You can see it when you look at the number of new homes that are being built. And you can see it, most importantly, in the census data. We're aging, and in some areas we are gentrifying, and these push-pull factors are having huge impacts on where we're going. I will tell you, as a high school teacher, I watch what youth are doing, and I'll tell you what they're doing. They are fleeing, and I think that is something that we need to consider. Because I'm not getting younger, and when I'm out shoveling my sidewalk or my driveway, my back is not what it was as an 18-year-old. And if we are watching all of our young people flee, we'd better take a hard look at our practices and reflect, how is this going to serve us going forward?
Mm-hmm. So to kind of branch off that a little bit, I'd say there are probably a couple factors there for young people. One is job opportunities here, and the relative pay scale that our local economy has, and then housing costs. And those are all things that are being kind of buffeted by growth, I think, at the moment.
I 100% agree. And speaking for the greater Sandpoint area, Sandpoint and Bonner County actually has a relatively robust economy, unlike many other resort towns. But our success has led to a renewed interest in other people sharing in that. And the craziness of the COVID experience has also led to many people recognizing, and employers recognizing, that they could have a quality of life living here while receiving big city pay. The cost of dirt and a home in Bonner County is simply not realistic for the majority of the students and the wages of jobs that currently exist. And this is something that is going to require a all hands on deck approach, because there is not a magic wand that's going to make the dirt cheaper or make all of the newcomers leave or make my back younger. And it's going to require zoning. It's going to require cooperation. And a big thing is it's going to require infrastructure. And none of this is free. And the other one that many people forget about is a lot of this is driven by the legislature. The legislature in Idaho, because we are a Dillon's Rule state, drives much of our processes. And county government, we have certain powers, but we do not have the power to draft laws. We can create ordinances, but they must be in compliance with the state. But one thing that our county most certainly can do is we can work together cooperatively, both within our elected officials at the county level and certainly within the elected officials between the county and our different cities.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Staying on the growth track here. So there have been a lot of what are called minor land divisions that have been granted over the past few years under the current commission. And that has some folks concerned about the impact on our rural areas. So these higher density developments that are becoming scattered around. For instance, Bonner County Rural is a group that's popped up with concerns about that, or Project 7B. Where do you stand on the use of minor land divisions as it's currently being utilized by the county planning department?
I believe that the current county planning department is complying with current code. With that being said, what we can and should do, and this is certainly where the comprehensive plan comes into play, is we need to update the comprehensive plan and stop every time somebody wants a change or an amendment saying yes. Zoning is a legal power that is authorized by the state of Idaho, and we should honor it. But we have to update that plan. I have spent time with both representatives from Project 7B and Keep Bonner County Rural. And I share some of their concerns, and I am exceedingly hopeful, and I'll say it through this interview, I hope that both of those organizations are involved at helping to be a piece of the solution. And that piece of the solution is in the drafting of the comprehensive plan. This is where the citizens of the county, everybody, has the opportunity to give their elected officials their perspective so that we can draft the plan that is going to guide our land use for the next 10 years. And then in regards to minor land divisions, if a minor land division is allowed within a zone, I have no issue with it. Now, if there are loopholes in code which have existed, and it creates opportunities to do shenanigans, I don't like it at all. Government and code should be boring. It should be consistent. And it should also be, you should have a good idea of what's coming. It should not be sneaky, and it should not be duplicitous.
Okay, let's move on to another issue, or it's kind of a corollary issue, because these things do come down to the growth pressures we're experiencing. But as one of their last acts, the commissioners voted just a couple weeks ago to vacate the public Camp Bay Road that has historically provided access to Lake Pendre. They're vacating it to a private development being built there. Now, that decision came after a series of public hearings and actually a previous court challenge. Those who have opposed it are indicating right now that they might pose another court challenge to this most recent decision. But the most recent decision would seem to close that the chapter on that issue. Is that accurate, or will the new county commissioners have some purview over that particular decision?
This is a great question that I'm going to deflect, Chris, and I'll tell you why. Because I am unsure which direction of whether or not there is going to be a lawsuit. But why I am very comfortable telling you is that a decision has been made. And there is 50 feet of dedicated waterfront that is included in that decision. And there is interconnectivity with trails.
The public will have access to a trail.
They will have. But in addition, it is not just a trail to the 50 feet. It is also a trail that has interconnectivity to Springy Point. So through the decision that was made, the people of Bonner County received a dedicated access. And in regards to the lawsuit, I'm just uncertain as to what the parties are going to do, but I know that the decision has been made by the county, and the public now has 50 feet that is dedicated to its use, and it has a trail system that provides greater access than was previously authorized.
Mm-hmm. I think the trail would potentially connect to Mineral Point.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah.
Springy. Yeah, that would be one heck of a trail to go to Springy Point. That'd be a long walk. Yeah.
So, what's your take on county processes and functions as you are coming into office here? Do you think the county's working efficiently? Are you happy with what the various departments are doing?
I think as an incoming elected person, my biggest goal is to build relationships and trust with the other elected officials. I would say as a outsider looking in, it appears to me that there certainly seems like there's room for growth. Commissioner-elect Williams and myself attended a Idaho Association of Counties conference in Moscow in November. And one of the things that they discussed there as we were in commissioner school was talking about an all-county meeting. And I don't see why we don't do that. And since then, I have spoken with every elected official. And while I won't speak for them, at this time, they have told me that they are interested in sitting down and having something like a monthly county meeting where all nine of us elected officials, we will sit in at the county building, and we will discuss two major issues. And the two major issues are going to be budget, which is always how we pay for stuff. And in addition, and this is only me speaking about the two major issues because there will be an agenda. The other one is how do we serve the citizens and residents of Bonner County to the best of our abilities together? As a side note, I also think that it represents an important element of government, which is working together to serve the public. Because at the end of the day, as an elected official, the public is the one who chooses who represents them, and they're the ones who pay the bills. And I think that there's a lot of room for growth of investing more money in things other than lawyer bills. So that is going to be my focus is one, building relationships and trust with my coworkers that are elected, and then two, completing the comprehensive plan and seeing how many people we can get engaged in that process to best serve us for the next 5 to 30 years.
Okay, well, I just had one more question here on my list, and since it's an issue that comes up from just about all of our county residents, that's county roads and the maintenance of county roads. And of course, in winter is when we really see our county road crews out humping it to get roads open and safe for us. How do you feel about the way the county works with its roads?
Well, one of the last decisions that the commissioners also made was in reference to some education funds. We are struggling as a county to get qualified operators to be able to maintain our roads. Why is that? Because it goes back to some of our previous conversation in regards to housing and in regards to wages. I had two different career fields in the Army. I was infantry, and then I was transportation. And I have spent a significant amount of time with our road supervisor, who is an absolute asset to this county. I think people need to be very aware of reasonable expectations of winter in northern Idaho. If your axle's telling you to slow down, you should really listen. And if you're looking at a pothole that's as big as my Subaru, you should also slow down. The road crews in the county have over 600 miles of roads to address. And I can tell you from having attended and meetings with the road supervisor, the costs of every bag of sand or ton of sand, of gravel, of diesel, and all of that has gone through the roof. Speaking for myself, I will be starting to ride with the road crews so that I can see some of the lesser developed areas, and I wanted to build my understanding of how they go. But I'll tell you, for the most part, I'm pretty darn impressed with how well we do with such a shoestring budget. And it's big, but inflation has taken a huge chunk out of it. And here's a really simple example of it. We were going to have 70 new miles of asphalted roads, and because of inflation, we're down to 43. That's significant. So we are struggling to maintain just the roads that we already have. So the best thing I can say is be safe out there. And there is nothing, it's far better to slow down than to get in an accident and find out how good our EMS is.
Mm-hmm. I gotta say, good advice right there, Luke. We have just a couple minutes left. Anything you'd like to put out there for the listeners and your constituents?
I am excited at the opportunity to serve Bonner County. I think that we live in a place that is special, and I hope that everybody that is visiting or residing here thinks the same of where they live. And I hope that people will be engaged in our governmental processes in a manner that is civil, productive, and realistic. And I hope that people will hold me accountable. And if you see me, ask me questions. But I do not have a magic wand, and I do not have a limitless wallet. So hold me accountable, and I look forward to serving our county and our home.
Luke Ahmet, again, newly elected Bonner County Commissioner for District 3. Thanks for taking time to talk with us.
You're welcome.